So this morning I'm going to just talk about on the Holy Spirit, and I found a book where this just explains the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because a lot of the time it's so difficult to explain. Yeah, you've got God, you've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit. They're different, but they're the same. Are they one? Are they three? And I found such an easy to understand paragraph that explains God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read it, and I'm sure you will get it immediately. Here's what it says. There's one person of the Father, and another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit, but the Godhead of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is one. The glory is equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such is the Father, such is the Son, such is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated, and the Holy Spirit is uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son is infinite, the Holy Spirit is infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Holy Spirit is eternal. And yet there are three eternals, but one eternal. So there are not three uncreated, nor three infinite, but one uncreated and one infinite. So also the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty. But there are three almighties, but there are not three almighties, but one. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Yet there are not three gods, but one. The Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet there are not three Lords, but one. So the Father is God, and the Son is God, and so the Father is Lord, and the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit are all these things as well. The Father is made of none, is not created. The Son is of the Father alone, not made or created. And the Holy Spirit is of the Father and the Son, not made or created. Easy. That makes sense. When I read that, I thought, wow, you know, it's very complicated, then you have to read it slowly. But when you listen to it, it actually, oh my goodness, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's one, it's three. No, it's not three, it's one. It's, you know, it's, I just love that about spiritual things. I mean, God says it's a mystery. If it was easy, it's probably not God, you know. I thought it's such a nice snippet to explain God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, three but one. So I want to read a scripture, John 14, from verse 1 to 17. And it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or counselor to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And the section I want to focus on is that last bit where it says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. We'll give you a counselor in some Bibles to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So we see here that Jesus says, look, I'm going to send you someone else. God is going to send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Truth. He will be with you forever. You can't see him. He will live with you and he will be in you. And, you know, we've read that scripture probably how many times. But if you think about all the things that we're reading in the Bible, some of it is quite extreme. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, and the Holy Spirit will be in you. Wow, in me, you know. And I think what a lot of us Christians do sometimes is we've got a physical body. But we also have a spiritual part. We've got a spiritual life and we've got a physical life. And because we cannot see the spiritual side, it's so easy just to focus on the physical more and neglect the spiritual side. So let me give you an example. Zara cut her finger yesterday. She had to go to the hospital and the doctor had to fix her. So that's a physical problem. With a physical problem, we go to the hospital and they stitch you up or they fix you. So I can go to the doctor. I've got a problem with, let's say, my arm, my shoulder is sore. They take x-rays and they say, oh, look, there's something wrong. We have to operate. And there's a physical thing they do with you because you've got a physical problem. What if I go to the doctor and I don't have a physical problem, but I need help. I need healing. So I'll give you an example. So practical, physical, we've got flesh. We're made out of bones, fingers, hands. I've got clothes, you know, physical things that I can see. I can taste it. I can hear. I can speak. Then we've got a spiritual side. And the spiritual side is our soul. And soul is our emotions. What are you thinking right now? Hopefully nothing, you're just listening to me. But our soul is our emotions. What are you thinking? What did you think this morning? What did you think when you came in here? What did you think while we were worshiping? So we think a lot. We've got thoughts. Part of it, we've got emotions. So someone hurts us and we're sad. We get offended or we get angry. Or someone cuts in front of George when he's driving and he gets angry. We've got emotions. Then we've got a will, and we've got desires, and we've got hopes and dreams. Those are all things that make up our soul. So there is not another Maureen. Who makes Maureen is her soul. She might have twins. Let's say Maureen had a twin. Looks exactly the same, but they won't be the same. Oh, we've got a good example in the church of twins. So although they don't look identical, I mean, let's say you've got an identical twin, they might look the same, but they will be completely different in personality. And why is that? Because their soul is different. Their hopes, their dreams, their thoughts, all of those things are different. And that makes you who you are, your soul. So the soul falls under spiritual, but we neglect that sometimes because we don't see it. So imagine I go to the doctor and I said, doctor, I've got a problem. I've got a pain in my feeling. Imagine that. What do you mean? Let's take x-rays. Let's take that feeling out. Let's have a look. Let's put a bandage over your feeling, or put a bandage over your thoughts. We need to stitch you up. You need some stitches in your thoughts. And it's crazy. But we do need a physician. We do need a doctor for our souls as well. So 1 Peter 2:25 gives a bit of explanation on that. And it says, 1 Peter 2:25, it says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And that is such a beautiful scripture. So we've got physical bodies, physical lives that we live. But then we've got a massive part, spiritual, and the center of that is our soul. And our soul makes up who we are. And it says here that God is the shepherd and overseer of that part of your life. That is mind-boggling. I haven't actually seen that before in that way. So, I mean, we go to the doctor, and we can also get medication for our souls, physical medication. And it might help, but it's the real physician, the real doctor here is God. And he says he is the shepherd of your soul. He is the one. I mean, if you, we don't have shepherds in Cairnyup or in Perth, but a shepherd in the Bible times is someone that protects the sheep. That's his life. If you lose a sheep, he loses money, he loses his inheritance, he loses everything. So the shepherd protects and rescues the sheep. And that is what God is doing. God stays close to us, and he protects us. He protects us spiritually, he protects our soul. And when you think of soul, that remember that your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your will, your desire. So here is the big problem. Here is the problem. We have to be so careful as Christians. And if there's anything that you remember from today, remember this. You can forget everything else. As Christians, because we see, feel, touch, live physically, we can neglect the spiritual side. And what we do, what happens is we allow God in our physical lives. So I'm a Christian in the physical realm, and I block God in the spiritual realm. So what I mean by that? So, I mean, it is possible that as a Christian, I don't connect with God. I get in my car, I drive to church, I walk in here, I sing words, and I sit down and I go home. And I didn't allow God into my soul. I didn't allow God into the spiritual aspect of who I am. And what we do, we just become physical. It's a physical relationship. And God did not design us like that. If we keep doing that, if we keep neglecting God, who is the shepherd of our soul, we will struggle in life, that's for sure. Because we only take care of the practical side of life. Yes, I've got food to eat, I've got a car, I've got a house, I've got a family, but that's it. But on my spiritual side, my thoughts, my emotions, my will, my desires, my hopes, I'll be struggling there, and they'll be hurt. So we need God. We need to open the door, not just in the physical, but we need to open the door for God and allow him into our soul, into our spiritual part. And you probably can sit there and think, yeah, we're doing that every day. Well, that's wonderful. But my experience, and we've been Christians now for not too long, 17 years, it happens. Life gets busy. The world piles worries on our lives. We worry about finances. We worry about family members. We worry about relationships. We worry. And all that is practical things, physical things. And we are just human. And because that is such a big focus in our lives, that affects us. And we spend less and less time opening the door to our souls, less and less time opening the door for God to look into our feelings, look into our thoughts, look into our hearts. And that's what I want to focus on today. So if you can imagine, you know, you're just talking about the Holy Spirit. If you have a staircase with 100 stairs and each step is learn something more about the Holy Spirit, I believe this is the first step. If we don't have the first step, we've got nothing. You can't go on to the second step. Because if we don't allow God, if we don't open the door to God to come into our emotions, to come into our thoughts, to come into our souls, we are not going to take another step. Look, I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about making progress and moving closer to God. Does that make sense? Good. So let me give you an example in practically how we can do it. So I like Jeremy. He's my friend. And I think Jeremy likes me. So let's say we connect. We've got the same interest. And Jeremy says, come over. We're going to spend some time together. We need to learn to know one another better. And so I pack my things and I go over to Jeremy's house. And we really enjoy each other's company. We look forward to it. We normally go run marathons together. And I'm just joking. But maybe I'm prophetic now. And so I get to Jeremy's house. Man, looking forward to this time with Jeremy. And I get into his house, and he doesn't meet me at the door. He just yells from the lounge, says, yeah, come in, the door's open. Okay, and I go in, and Jeremy is sitting on the couch, and he's watching sport. A big game is on. He's watching World Cup hockey or something, netball. And I'm not interested in that. And I think, oh, okay, I'll probably sit through this. And Jeremy just, yeah, he stares at the TV, just watches TV the whole time. But then in between that, he gets out his phone and he's on social media and he just Facebook and he Twitters and all sorts of things. And later on, he goes up and he disappears. And I think, my goodness, you know, I came over to spend time with him to get to know him better. So I'll just probably go home. And I think that's what we do with the Holy Spirit sometimes. You know, we say, oh, God, we love you. We want to spend time with you. We want you to come and impact our lives. We're open to you, Holy Spirit. Yes, of course, I've got my quiet time, 5 minutes every morning or two times a week, whatever you do. There's no rule for that. And I take out my Bible. I have to hurry up. I have to get breakfast done as well. My phone goes off. Oh, my goodness, lots of Facebook things. Yeah, God, I love you. Jesus, protect me, bless me. Oh, what's happening this? Oh, Facebook. Oh my, look at this video. What are they mad? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I have to rush. Jesus, yeah, bless me again. I love you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you I'm going to heaven. Oh, God, you are wonderful. Please give me wisdom in the meeting. What's happening here? Who's posting this? Oh, my. You know what? You get the message. And I think that's how we treat the Holy Spirit. And I think we say, yes, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. I want to be like you. Fill me, blah, blah, blah. And then we rush him. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, I'm there. I'm with you. I want to get to know you. I want to see what you are like. I want to see what you like. I want to see what you dislike. I want to see what your dreams are. I want to see what your hopes are. I want to see what you are afraid of. I want to get to know you. And the Holy Spirit thinks the same thing. He thinks, man, I hope he wants to get to know me. I hope he wants to get to know what I like, what I dislike, what quenches me, what grieves me. And then the Holy Spirit is ready. He's ready. And then we treat him like Jeremy treats me. And he says, I'll probably just go. He doesn't really want to get to know me. He hasn't got time for that. So that's a sad thing. But please, I'm not preaching at you. I'm with you. And we can so often, it is so easy to fall in that trap where we say things so easily, but do we really mean it? Do we really want to get to know the Holy Spirit? Do we really want to get to know God more? What grieves him? What irritates him? What pleases him? And I think that's a process. So my hope for today is if we just take the first step. And I think we can all sit in, you can probably stand up and say, talk for yourselves, never happened to me, and I won't believe you. But I think let's take the first step today and recognize it for what it is. I mean, and maybe you're not there. That's okay. I mean, just remember it for future. But let's take the first step today and value the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's value that. When he comes over to visit us, let's switch the TV off. Let's focus on him. Let's get to know him. What quenches him? What pushes him away? Easy things that push him away is if we willfully sin. If we know whatever we are looking at, watching, doing with our hands, saying is wrong, we are quenching him. And he cannot be with us. He wants to, but he cannot. So there are obvious things that is going to push the Holy Spirit away. So first of all, let's focus on that and get that right. I'm just reading my notes. Okay. So I think we have to start this process of, see, I can see at least I'm honest. I'm reading my notes. But, and I think we have to start this process. We just have to sit down. So let's say after the thing with Jerry, I have to get another coffee and say, listen, if we really, I mean, I enjoy your company. I think you enjoy my company. If we're going to take this relationship further, we have to sort out some things. And what you did the other day was horrible. You know, I felt hurt. You ignored me. And I think that's the first step that we have to do. We have to get that relationship right. And we have to make time to get that right. Just like you would do any other relationship. So let's go to some scriptures to see what the Holy Spirit is like, what God is like. So Isaiah 40, verse 11 says this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He tends the flocks like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And just imagine this. When you sit down and you switch off all distractions and you focus on this friend that we've got, that when he gets ready to meet with you, that is what he wants to do. He wants to gather you in his arms and he wants to carry you close to his heart. That is what he wants to do. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 says this. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. So what God is saying is when we get ready to sit down and meet with him, he keeps on searching for us. Even when we ignore him, he keeps on searching for us and he wants to gather us and he wants to look after us. Ezekiel 34:16, it says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And then 1 Peter 2:25 that I've read before. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. That is Ezekiel 34:16. I just love that where it says, I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And that is exactly what the shepherd of our soul wants to do. He wants to bind up the hurt and he wants to strengthen us when we are weak. So if you can imagine, like we've got a physical problem, we go to the doctor. If we've got need a doctor for our soul, that is what that scripture is saying. And when we get with him, when we are injured, because we get injuries in our soul. I mean, people are nasty to us. They cut us off in traffic. They swear at us. They call us names, whatever it is, you know, we get hurt in everyday life. And so we carry hurt in our souls, in our hearts. And we've got hurt, you know, someone can hurt our feelings, people can be horrible to us. And what we have to do with that is not pick up the phone and go and gossip about it, but we have to get with God, we have to get to the shepherd of our souls and pour that out to him. And say, God, this is where I'm injured at the moment. This is where I'm weak. I need you to bind me up. I need your strength here. And you know what? God will do it. God will do it. We need to learn, we have to recognize, to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We have to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I just want to read something here quickly. By the way, the book that I'm using is from A.W. Tozer. If you ever want to read a good book, you can buy any of his books. And it says this: do you find your own heart sensitive to the Lord's presence? Do you? Do you find your own heart sensitive towards God? I mean, we're not playing games. We don't have to make things up or lie. I mean, if it's no, then it's no. But the good thing is you can change it. So do you find your own heart sensitive to the Lord's presence? Or are you among those, luckily I'm not saying this is A.W. Tozer, or are you among those who are samplers and nibblers? God help you if you are. For the child of the king isn't a sampler and a nibbler. He's a sheep who loves his shepherd, and he stays close to the shepherd. That's the only safe place for a sheep, at the shepherd's side. Because the devil doesn't fear sheep. He just fears the shepherd. Your spiritual safety and well-being lies in being near to the shepherd. Stay close to Jesus, and all of the wolves in the world cannot get a tooth in you. How lovely is that? How lovely is that? And when I read that, I had this, you know, normally going in the shopping centers, and you've got the ladies cooking little sausages and give you a nibble, give you a taste. Try this, and if you like it, go and buy a packet. And I think that's how we treat God sometimes. Oh, that's nice. I must go back for more sometime. But I haven't got time right now. So we treat God like a shopping lady, tester or nibbler or sampler lady that's cooking little sausages for us. Try this new little rump steak from Harvey. I must probably stop now. You guys are getting hungry or what? So let's not treat God in the same way. Let's not nibble and sample him, but let's enjoy a good meal with him. Yeah, let's enjoy him like he's a good meal. Let me read something else as well. So we spoke about physical, we spoke about spiritual, and that we can't neglect our physical, or we will die, and we can't neglect our spiritual because we will spiritually die. So we can approach God in the physical with our intellect, with our mind and our thoughts and how clever we are, or we can approach God with spiritually with our soul. And what we do, I believe, is if we block the door to God of our souls in the spiritual, we try and approach God with our intellect in the physical. So we try and reason, we try and believe, we try and get a heart impact with our intellect, and it just doesn't work. You'll just get burnt out, you'll get grumpy, you'll leave the church, you'll run away from God, and you'll fall away. So if we close the door to our soul, if we close the door to God in our spiritual lives, and we try and approach God just with intellect, we'll be amazing theologians. We'll know the word, but we won't know God. And that is a big problem. This is what Mr. Tozer says. He says, no, hear that. The natural man, that is the physical man, the man of the mind, the man of the intellect, cannot understand nor receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. God gave us a spirit to apprehend himself and intellect to apprehend theology. So God gave both. God gave us an intellect to understand theology, so we can read the Bible, we can see what it says. But the problem is, if we want to use our intellect to understand, spiritually understand God, it is not going to work. So he gave us our spirit to understand him, and he gave us our intellect to understand theology. So let me give you an example. You know, when we got saved, we started to think about God. We met a couple, Kevin and Nicole, and had lots of barbecues with them. We went to their church, and we just knew, Maureen and myself, that we weren't right with God. And we phoned him the one day, and he said, "Ah, Kevin, we know we're not right with God. What must we do?" And he came over, and he sat down, and he just explained with normal words, "This is why you have to believe in Jesus." And he gave all the reasons. He's the Son of God. I mean, we are full of sin. He died for your sin, but you have to access that forgiveness. And the way you access the forgiveness is you repent of your sins and you make him Lord of your life. You make him king of your life. So we did that. In our lounge, we prayed, and it was lovely. But you know what? Probably a week after that, I listened to a song while I was driving, and I just had to pull over because we did it together that day, but I had to do it again by myself. Where I said, "Yes, God, I know all the things that I've done, the wrong things, and I want you to forgive me. I want you to be Lord of my life." And, you know, when we do that, when we turn to God, it says in the previous scripture we read, God puts his Spirit in us. That's a deposit. So there's more available, but that's a deposit. That's how we start our life. And what I'm talking about here today is not the first initial step where you're opening your heart. That can be as well, but there is more. We can grow in knowing the Holy Spirit. We can grow in knowing what he likes, what he dislikes from there. So I've said a few things. First of all, we have to be careful not approach God just physically, but we have to approach him spiritually as well. Not block the door in our soul and our spiritual lives. And also not to try and believe and follow God with our intellect and not with our hearts. So 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says this. It says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." And that's exactly what I read in Tozer's book. He was talking about that scripture. So let's use the things that God gave us and not confuse the two. Let's not, confuse the physical with the spiritual. That's really not going to help. Spiritual things are only revealed by the Spirit. And if we mix them up, we are going to find life hard and it is not going to work. You know, it is very important to study the Bible. That is how we get to know God. But we have to allow God in our heart when we do that. So I can read the Bible, and you can as well, and we can read it like a history book or like a newspaper. Blah, blah, blah. I love the war. Yeah, they killed so many people. God got angry. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, done. Let me go. Or we can read the Bible and say, "Wow, God, what does that mean for me? I want to open my life up to you in that area." And just start to talk to God. Just communicate to God. You know, the Holy Spirit can hear you. Just communicate with God. I mean, you can have someone who goes to church every week. You can lead a church. You can study theology. But you can still not know God. I know it sounds crazy, but that is what it is. So let me go to this, page 185. I've got two more things that I want to read us. So it says this. And this is talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, "He has substance, but not material substance. He has individuality. He is one being and not another. He has a will and intelligence. He has hearing. He has knowledge and sympathy. And ability to love, see, and think. He can hear, he can speak, he can desire, grieve, and rejoice. He is a person. The Holy Spirit can communicate with you and can love you. He can be grieved when you resist and ignore him. He can be quenched as any friend can shut up if you turn on him when he is in your home as a guest." Don't worry about Jeremy. "Of course, he will be hushed into hurt silence if you wound him, and we can wound the Holy Spirit." And today, what I want us to do is if that happened to you and you feel that
man, I have to make right. I've been treating the Holy Spirit like, you know, a nibble and a sampling. We can make it right. It's easy. It's not a biggie. But if we don't do that, we can't take the second step. There's just no way we can do that. And like I said earlier, the best way to recognize what hurt and grieve the Holy Spirit is if we're disobedient. If we decide in our heart, I can read in my Bible what He wants me to do, but I choose not to do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't like that. You know, because we're not surrendering to Him. He's not really our Lord and our Savior if we say that, if I don't believe the Bible. Or if I willfully sin and I don't want to stop that, He doesn't sit well with that, because He's not really our Lord and our Savior. We don't really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're just fooling around. We're just nibbling. And when we come to Him, when we do that, make that first step, He will come with His life and His power and His energy and His fullness. So I want us to take that away today, that the first step, we have to get it right with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, if you feel that that might be you, like it's been me quite a few times in my life, that I ignore the Holy Spirit, that I quench Him, but we have to get that right. I want to end with this last little thing that I want to read. And it says, "Let me assure you that this is the most important thing in the world, that this blessed Holy Spirit is waiting now and can be present with you this minute. Jesus, in His body, is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for us. He will be there until He comes again. But He said He would send another Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We cannot be all that we ought to be for God if we do not believe and appropriate the fact that Jesus said, 'The Comforter will be my representative, and He will be all that I am.'"